The title of this message is Weight Training in God's Gym. Now, I want you to notice how that weight training in God's gym is spelled. It's W-A-I-T, not W-E-I-G-H-T. It's weight training in God's gym. Now, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. This is one of those messages that some people don't like, these kind, but yet at the same time, you can be encouraged by this kind of a message. But James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." How many of you know that that ain't natural? That ain't natural at all. You can't count it all joy in the natural when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials in various kinds. And I want you to notice that it doesn't say if you meet trials of various kinds. It says when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That word steadfastness, exact same word, can be translated with all of these words: endurance, patience, perseverance. And let steadfastness, endurance, patience, perseverance have its full effect. Everybody say full effect. Have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I hate to have to tell you this. It's very sad to have to tell you this. But the only way that you're going to be able to become perfect or mature and complete in who God wants you to be, lacking in nothing, is if you first have to experience some endurance, patience, perseverance, and steadfastness through the trials, through the trouble, through the problems. But he does start it out with a good note: count it all joy. Because he's trying to let you know that something good is going to come out of this. If any of you lacks wisdom, now I quote this scripture very often because, you know, if there's one thing we all need, it's supernatural wisdom. And we quote this pretty often: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all who reproach, and it will be given him. But the context of this scripture is you need wisdom in how to go through trials and learn how to count it as joy when it makes no sense. Only God's wisdom can show you that there's something good on the other side. Now, we can try to pump ourselves up with positive thinking and all that kind of stuff, but what you really need to do is, in the middle of those trials and those, and it says various kinds, that means it's not just going to be one kind. The one you're going through right now, well, that's just one, but there's lots of others just waiting, right? And so it's a good thing, because something good comes out of it. And the reason we need wisdom is so that we don't abandon the process of what God is trying to do to mature us. And many people do that. So we don't abandon that. We need the wisdom of God that says, you stay right where I put you. You do right what I told you to do. Don't abandon this process. That would be a foolish thing to do. You know why it's foolish? Because now you get to start all over again. Many of us can relate with the great New England preacher named Phillips Brooks, or he was Phillips Brooks, he was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. And at times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. Anybody here ever suffer moments of frustration and irritability? Yeah, of course. All I need to do is ask your family members or the people you work with. They'll tell me the truth, right? One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion, and this seemed so out of character for him. And they said, "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" And he said, "The trouble, young man, is that I am in a hurry, but God is not." Can you relate? So waiting. We all hate it. Anybody hate to wait? Why do we hate to wait? Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Is it because that we are impatient? Is that possible? Yeah. Of course it is. So when you go back to that word patience, and you know, we laugh in the men's Bible study because, you know, sometimes people will ask for patience, and it's so funny to see everybody kind of bristles when they ask for patience or humility, either one. Everybody kind of bristles just a little bit. It's like, oh, they don't know what they got coming, yeah. Right? Yeah. But we ought to be asking for it. We really ought to, and be willing to face whatever we need to face to get it, because it's worth it in the end to have it. Yeah. Amen? So we hate it, though. We hate having to wait. And we are impatient. And that word patience, as we said, means steadfastness, endurance, perseverance. So when we are impatient, basically we're saying that we're kind of unsteady. And we're kind of lacking in endurance. That means we quit easy. And it means that, you know, we don't have any perseverance. And so, you know, God forbid that we be a people like that. He wants us to have those things in our lives. Now, it's not any fun getting it, though. That's the part that we don't like. And so let me share a quick poem with you. This is going to just really inspire you, probably bring some of you to tears. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, but never in a man. So is it possible that we are self-centered and believe we should not have to wait? It is very possible. It comes with our nature. There was a group of travelers that were being made to wait on their airplane, which was late due to another flight being canceled. And if you've ever flown, or if you've flown much, I'm going to tell you, this is going to happen. It happens. And so the crowd looked horrible. They were, you know, I mean, they just were having a rough time. They were irritable. They were impatient. And as the time went on and on and on, it just got worse. Finally, an angry passenger rushed up to the ticket desk, got in front of everybody else. He slammed his ticket down on that counter, and he said, "I must be on this flight now, and I must be in first class." And the flight attendant, trying to be nice, said, "Sir, we will get to you as soon as it is possible, but you must wait in line just like everyone else." And he quickly said, "Ma'am, do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitation, she smiles. She picks up her intercom microphone and she says, "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to gate 17. Look, everybody is having to wait for something. Amen? And you're not alone. It helps when you know you're not alone. We all have to wait. What are some things that you may be waiting for? Well, you may be, and you could add to this list. I'll give you a little list. You can add, I'm sure, plenty. Some of you may be waiting for your spouse to be revealed, or waiting for God to release you into your true calling, or waiting for God to promote you on your job or into your next new job. Or maybe you're waiting in the area of divine healing to see that manifest. Or maybe you're waiting for God to bring children into your marriage. Or maybe you're waiting for God to deliver you from a specific trial of some kind. Or maybe you're waiting for a specific promise to be fulfilled that you've held on to, sometimes for years. Maybe you're waiting for a return or a harvest of those seeds that you've sown in faith. Or maybe you're waiting for a lot of other things. And again, I know you can add to that list. But every day presents plenty of weights to exercise your faith with. Now remember, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about weight training in God's gym, right? Why don't you go ahead and ask your neighbor, how you doing with your weights? Tell them, wait a minute, and I'll tell you. No. So I'm sure, again, there are thousands of reasons for these weights. But tonight, I want to see God's perspective of waiting. Now, I hope that we all leave here with a fresh understanding of an appreciation for waiting. You know, if you've ever been in a situation where you were in a hurry and something stopped you or something got in your way, only to find out that had you been able to get through, you probably would have been involved in a crash or something terrible would have happened and you would have been right there in the middle of it. You know, we've all experienced things like that. But tonight, again, I want to see God's perspective on waiting. And let's start by looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Now, you've often heard me say, and I still say, that too many times we're waiting for the Lord to do something, and he's waiting for us to do something, right? But there is something about waiting for the Lord in the sense of allowing patience to be built in us while we wait for his promises to come about and manifest in our life. But notice it says, let your heart take courage. Because when you're waiting and it ain't happening, your courage can sometimes just run down your pants legs and drain out onto the street. And so, you know, when everything's going good, it's easy to be courageous. Amen. When everything is going well, it's easy to be thankful. It's easy to feel like you have, you know, you have strength. I mean, you could be God's man or woman of power for the hour when everything is going good. But boy, whenever things aren't happening, especially in the timing that you want it to happen to, it's very easy to get discouraged. I think the answer to the question, why do we hate to wait, has its roots in a basic understanding of waiting. Most people think of waiting in a passive manner, right? Typically, when we think of waiting, that's what we're thinking is, oh, man, I'm just going to have to sit here, and I'm going to have to wait. But that's not the way it really is. You know, we think, well, you know, I can't really do much, so I'm just going to have to wait. And we think of it as killing time or wasting time, but all of these ideas are inferior to God's plan for waiting. Let me give you a quote. I'm actually going to give you a couple of quotes. A man named Richard Hendricks says, second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us ever encounter. Anybody ever pray and say, God, I just Lord, give me your heart. Lord, I want your passion. Lord, I want your desires. Lord, I want to be more like you. How many of you have ever said, Lord, I just want to be more like you. Lord, I just want, you know, the best way for that to happen is through patient endurance. And it's something that we don't want to do. And anytime I'm faced with something that I don't want to do, I often have to remind myself, because believe me, there's plenty of stuff I don't want to do. You can ask my wife. Plenty of stuff I don't want to do. But when I'm faced with I have to do or need to do something, sometimes I have to remind myself that Jesus didn't want to have to be on that cross either, but he did it. And the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he did it. He did what? He endured the cross. So years ago, I read a book by former U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft. I don't know how many of you would remember him, but he wrote a book called On My Honor, and I was really surprised. I read it, I was kind of drawn to it, but I was really surprised. I really got a lot out of it. And he helped me to understand some things about what this principle that he called delayed gratification. Now, this is a U.S. attorney. Now, I knew he was a Christian man, and I knew that he was, you know, seemed to be an honest and an honorable man, but I didn't know his backstory. And I didn't really understand or know his character, but this was one of the main things in his life that he said helped him to be who he was and to fulfill God's purpose for him in his life. Principle of delayed gratification. Here's a few things that he said about it. He said, delayed gratification is the ability to resist immediate rewards for greater future benefits. Now, he says the reason this was in his life is because this is something his father taught him. Now, I want to tell you, parents today make a huge mistake when we don't make our kids sometimes wait, when we don't encourage them to be patient, when as soon as they want something, we go crazy trying to get it to them. I want to tell you, you're not going to build any character in your children doing that. And God knows that, so he's not going to just give you what you want when you want it, every time you want it, without taking an opportunity to help you with your character. Amen? Now, he goes on to say, delayed gratification is essential for achieving long-term goals. You know, we live in a culture where, I heard this several years ago, where they were talking about the debt that young people are in. They'll put themselves in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt going to college or whatever, and they get out and they can never repay it. They literally can never repay it. And then what happens also is they see what their parents have, and they want to have exactly what their parents have, except they want to have it at 18 years old. So they'll go out and put themselves in horrible debt and spend money that they really cannot afford. And the credit card companies picked up on this, and so they literally were going to the college campuses and offering credit cards to people who clearly didn't have enough credit or sense to know how to use them. Why would they do that? At high interest rates, why would they do that? Because they know that if I can get them to max out this credit card, all they're going to be able to afford is to pay the minimum payment, and so we have them for the rest of their life. They'll never pay it off. Delayed gratification keeps you out of that kind of mess. So delayed gratification is essential for achieving long-term goals. If you get yourself in a mess right now, it's going to keep you from having what you need in the future if you don't change your way of doing things. Amen? But if we want it right now, we got to have it right now, we'll just put ourselves in all kinds of mess, all kinds of debt. It goes on to say it fosters self-discipline. Talking about delayed gratification, fosters self-discipline and resilience in individuals. Delayed gratification happens when you recognize the importance of patience in personal and professional growth. The ability to delay immediate rewards can lead to greater future success. Cultivating this mindset can enhance decision-making, and prioritize skills. When you don't have delayed gratification operating in your life, you will generally keep yourself in poverty. Can I get a bigger amen? You will make decisions that are foolish. Let's use an example. I mean, when, you know, you may have a young person that they're young and they see, in our area, they see a nice boat. Oh, I got to have one of them. Or they see a really nice four-wheeler, which you can buy a car just about for what they sell those things for, or whatever, and they got to have it. Or they see a nice truck. Nowadays, I mean, look, people pay more for their trucks than we paid for our house, right? And what I'm saying is there is a way, if you will seek the wisdom of God, there is a way to have what you need today to get you through without wasting your money to where when the time comes, you will have what you need to have the things that you really desire. You just have to be patient. You know, Pastor Cindy and I, we practice delayed gratification, even pastoring this church right up front. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have any of those kind of things. Why? Because we knew we were not going to waste our money on those things at the time. Cell phones are almost necessary now. But we were not going to waste our money on those things at the time because we knew there was something more that God would want to do for us, and we wanted to be frugal with what he gave us. And then the Lord, you know our story. The Lord gave us a house in only a way he could. And we didn't have to pay the same kind of money other people in our neighborhood had to pay for their houses because we practiced delayed gratification. So God got to us in a supernatural way, something that we could have gone out and got ourselves in great, great debt for, right? So I'm not saying that we're better than anybody. We're just saying that we learned that worked for us. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, God's just supplying you with some weights to exercise your faith with. So to finish off John Ashcroft's statement, he says, cultivating this mindset can enhance decision-making and prioritization skills. We can either do life our way or we can do it God's way. So let me tell you what will happen when we do it our way. In other words, if we have the wrong attitude while waiting. Because when you're doing it God's way, there's always going to be waiting involved. Why? Because he's trying to build character in us. And I have seen people over and over and over again. We've been pastoring now, I think we're going on 27 years this year. And over again, I've seen people get impatient and quit the race because things were not going the way they thought they should go quick enough. I've seen people over and over and over again abandon the process. So, number one main question here, what happens when we wait our way? Number one, we can lose God's perspective. Perspective is very important. We can lose God's perspective. God wants us to live this life with his perspective. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. What happens is we can't see the big picture. Now, how many of you know that whether it's at church or whether it's at work or sometimes as a child in a family, there are decisions that have to be made by the authorities that God put in your life that you may not always understand. Why? Because you can't see the big picture. And many times it's the same way with the Lord. We don't understand why in the world God is doing certain things or not doing certain things because we don't see the big picture. But God gives us an opportunity to actually get his view. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And I love this, verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I used to read through that for years. I just read through that and I thought, well, that's awesome. That's a wonderful position that he's given to us. But one day when God was dealing with me about perspective, he brought this to my attention that when he raised us up, part of the reason he raised us up, it wasn't just so that we could feel good because somehow he's given us some kind of royal position. It's so that we can have his perspective. And I've shared this before, where when Pastor Cindy and I got to travel to Belgium and then into Africa on the mission trip that we took, and we were flying over the Swiss Alps, and for me, I mean, for this country boy, I think some of y'all will understand, the fact that I could even lay my eyes on the Swiss Alps, even if it was from 32,000 feet, was a big deal to me. I couldn't stop looking out the window. In fact, there's a whole lot of stuff I couldn't stop looking out the window at. But I remember flying over that because those things are enormous. They're huge. And yet, from 32,000 feet, from a vertical view instead of a horizontal view, I could see on both sides of those mountains. I could see what was on both sides. I wasn't limited by a horizontal view. Why? I had a perspective that was vertical, and God gives us that perspective. So when you get upset because it looks like I don't understand what's going on, just stop and ask God for his perspective. He's already given you the authority to see it from his view if you choose to. Yes. You may not understand everything, but I tell you, it helps when you see that there is something on the other side. Amen? We don't have to be restricted to the natural, we'll call it the natural horizontal view, but because of what Christ did for us, we have access to the supernatural vertical view, which is his big picture view. When we wait our way, we can lose God's perspective. Number two, when we wait our way, we can become very negative. Now, how many of you know that you can become very negative so quick, so easy? I heard a guy say one time, he goes, "Man, I just hate being around negative people." I said, "That's kind of a negative thing to say. Negative people make me miserable." Yeah. I'm starting to feel a little miserable right now. Most of the time, unfortunately, we don't have anything good to say during the wait. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when you're stuck in traffic, you're generally not praising God, right? We literally will curse ourselves or our situation with our own words. And we can become extremely negative doubters and pessimistic. Pastor Cindy has a code word for me. When I start, how many of you know I can do this too? I start acting negatively or saying things that are negatively or that are negative, she always says, "Okay, Chuck." And it makes me want to just tell her off. Because who she's really talking about is Charlie Brown. And I'm like, "Look, I know my hair's thinning out, but it ain't that thin yet." But we can become extremely negative and doubtful and pessimistic. And that produces nothing but frustration and anger. Nothing good comes out of it. So how do you react when, for instance, someone cuts in front of you at the store, right? Or how about when someone brings 37 items, clearly a violation, to the 15-item express lane? Or when we're in a hurry and we get stuck behind Methuselah on the road going 20 miles under the speed limit. Yep. Start hollering at that old man and honking your horn and telling him how many less children his mother should have had so you could get to church and worship Jesus, right? Or when we're in a hurry and it just seems like everything that could happen to slow you down happens. So what happens? Well, we typically get mad or pouty because we're hoping to get through there quickly and it's not working out. Well, why is that? Well, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 tells us, the first part of that scripture says, hope deferred, I was hoping to get through here quickly, hope deferred or prolonged makes the heart sick. Of course, he's talking about in the natural. I was in a store the other day, I forget where I was, but I was in a store, and man, it was a pretty long line, and there was a lady, poor lady, an older lady, her card wouldn't work at the register, and the cashier just kept trying, and there was only one there, one register, and they kept trying and trying, and he said, well, maybe if you try this, and maybe if you try that, and they just kept on going on. Finally, the young man has to come around to help her with her card to try to get it to work. But about that time, there were two guys standing here, and they had been sitting in line. He had one little thing in his hand, and he'd been standing there in line just waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, they just had enough. They went and hung that thing up and walked out that door. As soon as they walked out that door, that little lady's card went through, and that line started moving. We forsake the process because we get heart sick. In other words, look, when you're looking forward to something good and you find out that you have to wait longer than you thought you would, it makes you mad, sad, and feeling bad. But the result of that waiting and that weight training will make you glad. Amen? If you stay in the process. I think we all know how it feels to have to wait. But don't lose God's perspective and get irrational. All right? Now, let me give you another one. When we wait our way, we can produce what we call Ishmaels, which leads to more waiting. How many of you know, boy, you could kick yourself in the pants, in the seat, when you realize that if I had just stayed here, it would have been good. And I'm going to tell you, I used to be the world's worst about that. We go to Walmart, and I look for a line, and, you know, the shortest line. And it's always that one where they got to call for the manager and they got to, meanwhile, the long line's just moving along, moving along, moving along. And then eventually I'm like, well, you know, I'm getting in that line. And as soon as I get in that line, now they got to call for the manager. And y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And it just, it's so frustrating, and it makes me, I mean, it just ruins my world. It just makes me such a victim. So what will happen is we'll produce Ishmaels. We'll lean to our own understanding, and instead of trusting God in the waiting, we come up with our own plan. And it's going to lead to more waiting. So getting ahead of God can lead to, I mean, not just more waiting, but sometimes very extensive waiting. Not only did Abraham's choice not to wait lead to consequences that we're still experiencing today, I've told this before, you know, like missiles flying into Israel, for instance, or like back in 2001, the planes flying into the Twin Towers and all of that. All of that is a result of Abraham not waiting. Is that crazy? We don't know the extended consequences sometimes of our impatience. Abraham had to wait 14 more years after he created his Ishmael to see his promise come about. I can't prove it, but it's very possible that that promise may have come about earlier had he waited. I can't prove it, but it's possible. In this day and age, nobody wants to wait for anything. And we've become instant kind of, we're so used to it, we're so spoiled. Instant, microwave food, consumer, convenience-driven society. And we want what we want, when we want it, the way we want it. Amen? Years ago, Burger King figured that out, and they said, you can have it your way, right? So I decide I'm going to have it my way at Burger King, and I go to Burger King, and they say, sir, could you pull up to the line up there and wait for your food? Thank God he delivered me from Burger King, right? I used to say we like to be like, you know, we think God is the Burger King and we can have it our way, but he's not the Burger King, he's the bigger king, right? So in this day and age, again, nobody wants to wait for anything. We want it now. And waiting can seem painful. It really can. I'm going to talk a little more about that here in a little bit. But listen, reacting the wrong way is always going to lead to more pain. How much better to wait God's way? G. Campbell Morgan said this. I know he was a great writer and a theologian. He said, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, actively under command. Secondly, it means readiness for any new command that may come. And third, it's the ability to do nothing until the command is given. So it doesn't mean that we just sit doing nothing. It just means that we don't try to do something to fulfill what God said without God's leading to do it. All right? So Pastor Mike Mele, I remember I've shared this before. I remember as a young man I shared this with. And even today, if I see that guy, he goes, you know what? The most impactful thing you ever told me was that what Pastor Mike Mele said that time. And Pastor Cindy and I were in college at IBC, and he was one of the guest speakers. It was he and another pastor who was his best friend at the time, and he's passed away, but Jonas Robertson. And Jonas was a graduate from IBC, where we went to Bible college. And so he would, by his influence, they started inviting Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike, I just, you know, if you've ever heard him, you know, he's just, you like to hear him. And especially if you can see his face and his actions and the things that he does. And so this particular day, it's a conference at the end of the year, and he's the keynote speaker. And they asked Brother Jonas to get up and share his testimony. Well, how do you know it's always dangerous to put a microphone in a preacher's hand, right? So Brother Jonas took up quite a bit of the time, but Pastor Mike got up there. Now, there's hundreds of people. The sanctuary is absolutely full. And Pastor Mike gets up there, and he says, you know, he says, I'm from South Louisiana. And he said, in South Louisiana, we do a lot of duck hunting. And he said, you know, you can always tell a good duck hunting dog. A really good duck hunting dog, he'll sit there ready to go. And he sees the birds flying over, and a shot will ring out, you know, and a bird will fall. And he said, a good hunting dog, a good duck hunting dog, he'll sit there, the veins popping out in his neck, raring to go. But that dog will not run out there, because if they do, they risk getting shot, right, while people are still shooting. He said, a good dog will not go till the master says go. Well, how many of you know sometimes we think the go time is long before the master says go? And this particular young man told me, and here's the thing about Pastor Mike. He'll just do whatever the Lord leads him to do. He's got hundreds of people there. He says this, and then he walks off the platform and goes to his seat. I asked him about that. He said, that's all the Lord told me to say. He said he got more feedback from that than he has ever got over any other message. He said people tell him even today, this is many, many years ago, and people talk about it, and they go, you remember that time you got up and talked about the duck hunting dog? You know. But tell your neighbor, it's always better to wait God's way than our way. Now, this is what we're going to do. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor, whatever you do, don't abandon the process. Tell him this. Tell him, don't lose God's perspective. Tell them, don't become negative. Tell them, you can produce Ishmaels if you're not careful. And then you're going to have to wait even longer, Kuyon. Let's pray. Now listen, how many of you will say, Pastor Dwayne, I really do need help with this. And I want you to pray for me right now that I will have patience. Y'all didn't hear a single word I said. Y'all didn't hear nothing about the joy. No, y'all didn't. See, this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to do it anyway because you're a captive audience right now. Somebody like, Brother Ron, don't let anybody out that door. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We know we can't do anything without your help, Lord, that requires supernatural help. Lord, we all know what it's like to have to wait. But Lord, we don't want that waiting time to be wasted. Lord, we understand we're weight training in your gym. And I thank you, Father, that our faith will be built if we stay in the process. If we don't quit because it's hurting and it's hard and it's frustrating. Father, I thank you for a supernatural endurance. Lord, your endurance that comes alongside us. Lord, to help us as we choose to stay in the race. As we choose to stay in your will. As we choose, Lord God, to stay in the process that you have us in. Lord God, we don't want to prolong our misery. We don't want to take more trips around the mountain. But Lord, we want to learn how to fully depend on you and trust you when our brain says it's not possible. So I do thank you for these people. I thank you, Father, that you are building in all of us. You're building perseverance. You're building endurance. You're building steadfastness. You're building patience in us. Even when we don't see it, I thank you, Father, you love us enough to allow us to experience the trials and the tribulations and all of those things because you know you have something much better for us on the other side as we endure. So, Lord, we need your grace and your wisdom to do it. But I thank you that you've made those things available. And you promised that if we ask, that you won't only just give it to us, but you'll give us more than we even need. You'll give it to us liberally. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.